that out.
At Gull Lake. I'm 36 miles from Swift Current. I'm on my way. Here at Gull Lake, I'm starting to see a lot of these wheat and grain elevators. There's McCabe's, and here's the Gull Lake Pool. There's about 8 or 9 big companies here. They must be enormous grain raising in this area, so I'm getting out of the cattle raising district in the range country. The sign says Swift Current, 35 miles, and Regina, 100 and something. I'm passing Gull Lake here. It's called Meadowdale Golf Course. And those full-grown men chasing that silly little ball around, I get a big kick of that. Well, it's time to make another time change. 1 hour more we advance. It's instead of 10 minutes after 3, it's 10 minutes after 4 in the afternoon. So I lose another hour on this way traveling east. I'm coming into Swift Current, Saskatchewan, Canada, and I see an ESO service station, a standard oil service station. I'll pull in there. I just stopped and had a milkshake here at this ESO service station. A nice little restaurant and very accommodating people in here and very sociable. This is Swift Current. It's a very progressive looking place. It's clean. There's lots of nice motels and real modern trailer courts with very up-to-date equipment. And everything is clean. There's no brush around. There's lots of green grass and trees and shrubbery, small trees. They don't grow very big here, evidently. Now I'm leaving town now on my way. The next place will be Regina and Moose Jaw. Regina was 152 miles from this point. Moose Jaw 73, Regina 115 from this point. The time now is 6:30 this time here. Coming into a look like a big salt refinery here. 100 miles to Regina and 2 miles to Chaplin. I want to take a picture of this big salt deposit. Well, I've taken a couple of colored pictures and one black and white. It looks like a big salt bed here. I'll know more about it maybe if there's some signs down the way. This says Saskatchewan Minerals Corporation, Sodium Sulfate Division. Sodium sulfate deposits are found in saucer-like depressions in areas where evaporation exceeds the rainfall. And it shows a picture of the diagram and the process on, and you are invited to visit this plant. I photographed this picture in color, and I think it'll turn out all right. I saw a great big long-legged jackrabbit go across the road here in front of me, one of those old-fashioned that you find down in Texas, as big as an army mule. Well, the time is now 7:47 p.m. in the evening, Sunday evening, and I'm at 3 miles out of Moose Jaw. I've stopped at the ESO service station, checked the gas and oil again, and about 6 to 10 miles from here, I will turn off and head in a southerly direction towards Portal, to cross into North Dakota. I've had a wonderful sunshiny day. Traveling's been good. I've seen a little game.
the signs along the road look out for the deer crossings. And I'm going to stop here and have coffee and rest up a few seconds. Well, I just finished a little lunch at Moose Jaw SO service station, about 3 miles out of town, and I'm on my way again. I've left Trans-Canada Highway number 1, and I'm traveling on Highway 39. It's a secondary road, but it's paved. It's been repaired, pretty good shape, and I just saw a beautiful sunset behind me. I tried one exposure with the camera. I've just passed a place known as Pittman. This is out in a prairie country. It's really a prairie here. Not a thing for miles around. The next town of any size is Weyburn, and it's 93 miles from where I left Highway 1, Trans-Alaska Highway 1, or Trans-Canada Highway 1. I just saw a nice fat duck sitting right by the road. He just as unconcerned took a look at me and squack, quack, went off. I just left Weyburn, 93 miles from number 1 highway, and I'm on my way to Porto. The time now is another hour time change. I've had 5 hours time change since I left Fairbanks. And the time now is 5 minutes to 11 in the evening, p.m. This is a beautiful level road, and I'm going through a whole bunch of oil fields as far as burning the waste gas at all these different wells. These oil wells that I see here are located near Middale. I've been listening to one Canadian station. I haven't got the call letters of it yet, but it's been continuous music, no advertising at all evening, for the last 3 hours. It's really beautiful. Entering the town of Estevan, near the border between Canada and the United States. Got here at Canadian border at 12:15 and found the customs office closed. I didn't know. I thought this would be open all night. The time is 4:15 a.m. in the morning, and I just checked through both Canadian and U.S. customs at Porto, North Porto. And Mr. Thompson sends his greetings to Bob in Fairbanks. And I'm on my way now. This is a large in North Dakota now. I'm coming in the state of North Dakota and heading for Minot. This is a large oil well area. There's wells in every direction for miles and miles. Also on the Canadian side, there's hundreds and hundreds of wells. And this big flat country. There's a beautiful red sunrise. The sun isn't quite up yet, but the sky is all red. I just stopped here. Place, I believe it's called Kenmore, and this is a mammoth trailer court here. There must be probably 400 or 500 trailers in this court. It's a large thing. It covers quite a few acres, and I took a photograph of it. This motel is called Sunway Motel, and this second picture I took here is the kids in Alaska don't believe cows sleep. They're all laying down asleep, supposed to be. By the way, this is Monday morning, June the 17th, and the time is 5:20 in the morning, 5:20 a.m. Believe it or not, I'm in a little town called Donnybrook. If you want to have a Donnybrook, come down here. Well, I stopped in Minot, North Dakota at the Capri restaurant and had my hotcakes and coffee. And the time is 5 minutes after 7 in the morning of June the 17th. I'm now entering Devil's Lake area. It's a pretty good sized little village, town. And it's a flat prairie country here, and it's overcast today and sultry. The thermometer says 75 degrees on my car on the outside and 82 on the inside. Well, the time now is 7:45 in the evening, and I've just had a cheese omelet over here at the Two Spot, it's called, here in Devil's Lake. And it's a pretty good place to be around the devil, I think. Today is June the 17th in the evening now, p.m. I'm just starting out again. I've had a rest. Whenever I get tired, I stop and rest. And it's a little muggy and overcast, and some pretty dark clouds in the distance, and there's some broken stuff. It's been 86 degrees today. It's been so hot. That's the reason I took off and slept, and I'm traveling in the evening. And the temperature now is about 73. It's going down a slight bit, getting cooler. The vegetation here is a kind of a brushy-looking tree, a windbreak. They're short and stubby and strong. It looks like they'd stand a tornado. They look like a great big bush. I just saw a brick schoolhouse that was built in 1901, and it still looks as new as it did probably when it's built, and it's still being occupied. Another observation is there's Dairy Queens all over by different names. It'll be the Swede's Dairy Queen or Joe's Dairy Queen or May's Dairy Queen. And also, every super gas station of any kind has got a restaurant in attachment on these cross-country highways, which what might be of interest in the Fairbanks area. Another thing I've noticed in the since I come down on the American side into the Dakotas, that there's camping. They have camping facilities, fireplaces, water, tables, and areas under the trees with the beautiful camping spots all along the road. The next one is 33 miles. They're posted along the road, and they're well kept. They must be maintained by some agency here because they're in perfect shape. Well, I've stopped at a State Highway Department weighing station and information center, and I talked to the young officer on duty. He's very courteous. I'm to take Highway 81 to Fargo, Dakota. That'll be my next run, about 100 miles, I believe. I'll have to look at the map. Well, this is in Grand Forks, and I just filled with gasoline at a Standard Oil service station here. And I'm on Highway 81, heading south to Fargo. And I'll be there. It's about 80, 90 miles, I guess. I'm observing a lightning storm ahead towards Fargo. And the amazing thing to me is that at 9 o'clock at night, it's pitch black here, when I know it's daylight all night where I just left here last week. Well, I just stopped at a little roadside restaurant and sort of a motel and had a cup of coffee here. It's called the Happy Hour Bar and Liquor, it says. And I had a visit with an old guy that's traveling around the country here. Was in Alaska and Canada and over in Russia before 1918. The time is now 5 minutes after 2. I'm at Fergus Falls. And I stopped here at a little sandwich stand. Take a look around and rest myself a little bit. I just had my first turn down on a credit card on gas back here at Alexandria, just this side of Alexandria. I don't know, the guy didn't know whether he should or shouldn't. It happened to be the Humble Oil Company. So, I've seen two large chicken ranches with couple of 3,000 chickens out here, and they're sleeping right out in the open. I never saw that before. They're all sitting around just one big flock. I've left Rochester in the distance now, and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Speed limit right here is 30 miles an hour, and this place is known as Harmony. H-A-R-M-O-N-Y. It's a pretty place. There's lots of green shrubbery around. Nice clean building. Even got a big recreation center here. The time is now 5 o'clock and I'm heading towards Dubuque, Iowa. And I just stopped at American Veterans Cemetery. They have a beautiful lawn and a rest place there for people that are tired driving. There's a beautiful white table and a monument there. It's dedicated to the World War heroes. I'm noticing something else. Not only the nice, clean, well laid out fields and farmers here, but they've got lawn along the highway on both sides, and the men are out trimming it. It looks beautiful here, just like a park. We're driving through a park here on this road. Believe it or not, here's a lot of pigs, these great big white pigs, and these farmers here are cutting, baling hay, believe it or not. This place is known as Guttenberg. And boy, there's some pretty motels, there's lakes and streams here. And these are really fancy, regular dude ranches. Here's a nice big one here. Old Swiss style, and the shrubbery along the road is beautiful here. Everything's trimmed up so nice. I'm Dubuque, Iowa, and I just took a picture of an old building here. It looks like a church on the main street. Oh, this is 13th, and can't tell you what it is yet. It was 13th and Central. That's supposed to building's located at 7th West and Central.
There's still an old cable car located here in Dubuque, and it says 10 cents a ride. I just stopped and took an exposure of a castle home on the side of the hill here, just out of Dubuque a little ways. The music you hear is the Des Moines station. That castle-like turns out to be a church in a cemetery yard here on the side of the hill. The beautiful trees on the other side of it and then behind it. I just took two pictures of coal barges pulling out here from going into the lakes. And these Kentucky Coal Company barges, they're pushing quite a string of boats here. And I'm up on top of a park here in this village. I didn't get the name, but I'll get it later. That's Bellevue, Iowa, and the Bellevue State Park starts right here. Alongside of this is the river, Mississippi River, or Missouri River, one of the two that comes in here. Passing through the town of Savannah on the Mississippi River. There's quite a little bit of business here tonight and traffic. It's quite a town. There's lots of old brick buildings, some wooden ones, and another one of those beautiful old churches. Out here in Joliet, Illinois, it's just when the darned old toll bridge, or the drawbridge, went up to let a boat through. I got here right at 12 o'clock in midnight. The time is 6:30 a.m. in the morning, and I stopped at Grand Prairie Restaurant here at a truck stop and had some coffee and juice, and I'm getting ready to go again. The sun is bright and strong, and I met a neighbor down here. What is your name?
My name is Claude Rowe.
And I just mentioned to him I was born here in Linden, and he was telling me it's a shortcut out of my way to go by the place.
Yes, it's only about 12 miles out of his road on his road to Indianapolis to go through Linden. I was trying to get him to go through there so he could see some of his old buddies down there.
Well, I was pretty young. They'll be second generation or first generation kids now.
I imagine, though, he could still run down some in just a little bit of time.
I know there's some in Indianapolis. But the Reese's and the Hopewells and the Browns and the Hughes. There should be some of them around there.
It would be much easier to find them in Linden, because Linden is a much smaller town than Indianapolis. In Indianapolis, you might get lost in. All the streets run crooked.
Some of them work in the Capitol building. I found that out already. Some cousins.
Down the state building.
Yeah.
Well, the state building, they have a new office building down there now, and it's pretty hard to find your way around in it. You can get lost in it.
I never thought all my relations be working off living off of the government, though, when I'm so opposed to everybody living off of the government.
Well, I guess half of the people live off of it. The other half keeps them.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is now.
Say, it's awful nice meeting you, and I hope you have a good trip on the rest of the way in.
I'm glad I met you, too.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. I might stop. I'm now entering Lafayette, Indiana. I'm only about 15, 20 miles from where I was born in Linden. I'm now entering Montgomery County. The time is 7:45 a.m. in the morning, and I'm almost to the town limits of Linden, the town I was born in 1899. Well, I took a couple of pictures of the Monon Railroad crossing where I was born within couple of hundred feet of there. As near as I can tell, the buildings burned down. Well, a couple of old-timers did say they knew them, but and there's Ruth and Elizabeth Hopewell. They're married, but they're alive, and Elizabeth's very sick in the hospital, and I didn't get to see her, and Ruth, her husband, went over to the hospital. I'm on my way back to Highway 52 to start on to Indianapolis and Washington, D.C. The gentleman at the gas station here in Linden tells me that one of my brothers had visited here a few days ago, and from his deafness, I would assume it's Charles Ivan. He lives outside of Los Angeles a little ways. Just him and his wife. The time is now 10:30, and I'm passing through Indianapolis. I've passed through the heart of town, all the freeways and traffic lights and everything. I've managed to get through without getting tangled up. I'm following Highway, U.S. Highway 52. Strange as it may seem, the sun is hot here. The traffic is thick. It's a beautiful park here, a place to use. Nice homes facing them. Just like we want in Fairbanks. Jimmy boy, I've seen about 300 freight trucks today. You'd just have a picnic here. You won't go to sleep driving. If you do, why, it'll be the last time you sleep. I'm passing by the Marion, Indiana County home. This is a mammoth thing. There must be a square mile of land here. And a nice big brick building. All kinds of facilities there. I see a lot of people there, too. I notice an awful lot of these big old black walnut trees just everywhere. There's lots of hard-shelled black walnut that was a good deed. Corn fields to galore. I see corn where everybody's raising corn. There's some grain here also, but mostly corn. Now traveling on the George Washington Highway towards Washington, D.C. I'm leaving a very thickly populated area with lots of traffic in it. There's cars going every which way here. I'm following a car from West Virginia that's doing pretty good. I don't know if that recorded good or not, but I'm on the new George Washington Highway, heading towards Washington, D.C. And I'm in front of Milford Shopping Center right now. limits on this road has changed 500 times. And they're all different sizes, all the way from 20 miles an hour up to 60 and 70. And bango, one will come down to 20 miles an hour when you least expect it, 15 miles an hour for a school crossing. Frank Young and Jimmy, you just don't know what you missed. You couldn't hold onto your pants on this road. Don't ever complain about Alaska roads. Boy, they got them half as wide down here as the Alcan Highway is, and half as wide as the streets of Fairbanks. These guys that want to widen the streets of Fairbanks better take a lesson. Come down here for a trip. I see some of these people looking at this Alaska license and wondering how in the heck I'm getting along on this road with these people. They don't know Alaska. Here we go again. Zigzag, zag, zig, zag, zig. Oh, look at the pretty flowers. Flowers all along here. Now the speed limit goes up to 50, back down to 30. 35 now. Boy, these signs are thick and flies. I've seen literally acres of wrecked automobiles and junked cars. Piles and piles and piles on them. The big press squeezed them up into chunks. If we had the money that's going into gasoline today, we could gold plate everything in Pioneer Park. Here's the strange thing, the telephone company's cut a hole right through a tree here, a great big black walnut tree, right through the center of it, just like a donut, to put their wires through. Here's an old car collector, he's got some old Model T's and a couple of Model A's, an old time Model T panel. There's a little straight stretch here. We took it off about 65, about a mile and a half long, I guess. That was a boy. I didn't follow him. He really took off. I stopped at a little drive-in here. I don't see the name. Oh, it's called the Corral Drive-In. And I don't know just how far down the road it is yet. I stopped at a place known as Hillsboro here, and actually I've got about 400 miles from Washington yet. The time is now 6:30 in the evening, and I've stopped at a motel here. Let's see what's the name of it. It's called the Star, Lucky Star Motel, and I'm about 300 and some miles from Washington. I'm going to sleep and rest up, and I'll get up in the morning then. I've serviced the car here at MacArthur. Took me about 35 minutes and had coffee. Now I'm on my way. It's about 380 miles to Washington from here, according to the attendant at the gas station. It's a nice bright morning. There's been moisture in the air. It didn't get daylight till after 5:30. This is a pretty good highway here, but it ends through a beautiful canyon. There's trees, there's everything here. Another thing I've noticed for the last day or two is there's an awful lot of old people sitting around in front of these old stores and these old homes, under the trees visiting, and they don't have any point in life, only just walk around. And this little town of MacArthur, I've seen a dozen of them walking around. They sit in front of the courthouse, in front of stores, I just wonder what they're getting out of life. The temperature this morning is about 66 degrees at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's about the same as Fairbanks, Alaska. Maybe a little bit cooler. In coming through Athens, Ohio here, the university's located here, and Highway 50 comes right through the center of the university and right through the center of town. It's an interesting thing to see, all these old brick buildings and considerable traffic, well-kept places. This town looks more like it's alive than some towns. I believe it's the university economy probably here that helps this town out. In watching the drivers of vehicles here, it seems to me there must be about three-fifths of them women drivers and two-fifths of them men. It's just the way it looks to me around here. I'm now passing through the student housing area of the university, which is about 90% trailers, believe it or not. It's a new way of life in America when everybody lives in a trailer. No permanent home. Don't own anything. Alongside of this student Rosalinda area is a little airport. They evidently must teach aviation too, dear. Some small planes and an airport right alongside the highway. I see an interesting little sign up here. It says $500 penalty for dumping rubbish on or along the highway. I think that should apply to our home at Fairbanks. I think Alaska ought to adopt that one. From the amount of beer bottles and cans I saw along the road when I was leaving Alaska. There's quite a construction project here on this four-lane freeway I just pulled onto here. They're really tearing up the country. I see a fellow working with a jackhammer, and it looks to me just like common clay, but it must be like frozen ground. He's busted up in chunks. Coming to the Belfry Cable Bridge, crossing a river here, and passing through a motel and a little industrial district. Here's an open-air theater. A nice motel here called Belpre. This is the Ohio River. There's a railroad bridge alongside of this one. This is the West Virginia and Ohio state line on this bridge. This is Parkersburg, Virginia. I'm in front of a building here in Parkersburg that was built in 1891. Stone, sandstone building here. Looks like it's all hand-hewn and it's brick. And it's a real nice old building. During the night, they lost another hour's time. It's 11 o'clock here now. That's Parkersburg, West Virginia. Believe it or not, I found a place down here in the hills of Virginia where radio don't come in worth a poop. Where one truck went off of the hill and they've got cranes and everything else down there trying to pick it up here in West Virginia. The little white daisies are in bloom all along the road here. Quite a lot of flowers. Well, I stopped here and gassed up again at the National Service Station. The guy's name is Lou, K-I-G-E-R, and he's doing all right. I met my first dummy on the road that stopped without even giving a signal. Boy, he pretty got potted. temperature has now risen to 86 degrees right here at this point in this canyon. It's beautiful green. The water is dirty, rusty red here at this place. I don't see anything swimming in it either. There's a lot of abandoned places that don't look to me like the motels are doing much business here. I'm about 250 miles from Washington, D.C. at this time, this canyon here. The time now is 5 minutes to 12, and I stopped at Salem, West Virginia. And this is another college town. There's quite a little activity. There's an awful lot of old buildings in here. This town was chartered in 1784, I believe it is. I had a very good dinner at this restaurant in Salem. And coming out of Salem, these are little alleys, about 30-foot roads, 32-foot, just barely the scrape on each side. And they got signs posted, maximum speed limit, 50 miles an hour. Believe it or not, I'll defy anybody to go over 30. I'm now leaving Clarksburg, Virginia. It's a pretty place in here too, quite historical and ancient. I just passed a beautiful patch of golden yellow daisies. This is a beautiful road in here. There's scattering of farms and lots of flowers of different kinds. They're mostly the whites and yellows. Elevation, 2,602 feet at this point. This is called a mountain road at this point. Some real hairpin bends on this road, and it's quite steep. This is the world-famous hairpin curve, well-posted. The sign says so here. We've got one in California just like this that a trailer can't get around, or a semi. These are complete curves. They come right around just like a complete U-turn. There's lots of green ferns in this canyon. It's very beautiful. It's well kept. Everything is in perfect condition. No brush, no weeds. Just wildflowers and grass and trees. This creek in the bottom of this hill is called Flag Run. There's a beautiful campground with probably 75 or 100 tables in here. And the trees have all been trimmed out, brush trimmed out, with beautiful moss and flowers. This is Cheat River Bridge I'm crossing, and we're down to 1,440 foot elevation above sea level at this point. There's a lot of climbing vines there, climbing on all the fences and buildings post here. The green ivy all over the buildings. Climb clear up in the roof. I am now in the state of Maryland, in Garrett County. And I'm on my way down there, out of the mountains now, part way. And I'm crossing the Potomac River, going through a little unincorporated town here. I must be crossing over the line. I'm back in West Virginia, a little spot here. This is Cherry Ridge, 2,922 feet elevation. The time is 3 o'clock in the afternoon here on Saturday afternoon. Allegheny Mountains, 2,840 foot elevation at this point. Starting down 5 miles of grades and curves off of the mountains. You can see an enormous distance here. On the top of near Saddle Mountain, Nancy Hawks, mother of Abraham Lincoln, was born in 1782 on the east side of Saddle Mountain at this point, the scenic view here. There's quite a little things here. They've got Harpard telescopes and everything imaginable here. I'm now crossing the South Fork of the Potomac River, and I'm almost down out of these mountains. I'm now passing through Augusta, West Virginia. The time is now 4:40 a.m. in the afternoon, or p.m. in the afternoon. Now I'm entering Virginia proper. I've went out of West Virginia and Maryland into Virginia now. 6 minutes before 8 o'clock, and I'm in Fairfax, out of about 20 miles out of Washington, D.C. The time is now 9:15 Washington, D.C. time, and I've reached into the Southgate Motel in Arlington, Virginia, and I have room B49. And now I'm going to get ready to unload the car. Now, this being Saturday night, June the 22nd, at 9 o'clock, Washington, D.C. time, I'll terminate this tape and this portion of my trip and take this tape off of the machine. I believe this is...
On my trip to the States, recording the trip over the Alcan Highway, and I'll probably get to Fort Nelson very shortly. The time now
is 10 minutes to 5 mountain time and 10 minutes to 3 Fairbanks time, and I've just passed mile 444, mile 444, and I'm going down through this beautiful canyon now. Everything's working good. This is known as Peterson Creek, and there's four bridges in here called Peterson number 1, Peterson number 2, and Peterson number 3, and Peterson number 4. There's a steep hill, mile 442, and there's a place known as the village here. A place to stop, a roadhouse, roadside establishment.
This canyon goes right down through the heart of the Rockies. There should be goat and sheep on these mountains in some places here, and we're going down the second steep hill. This is really a scenic route here. I'm over here to 151 Creek. I don't know what that means on here. And it's mile 434.5. This is wonderful. I'm going to take a couple of pictures here. Well, the time now is 6:35 p.m. I'm at Toad River service station here, and I had a tire repaired. I got a piece of welding rod in the tire. So I'm going in and have a cup of coffee and rest and go on then, just a little bit. The time now is 7:45. I've had something to eat, and I'm getting ready to start on my trip. Yeah, I'm recording. Well, I'm just crossing the Racing River Bridge at mile 418.7, and the road is graveled, loose gravel, a little of it flies, and it's getting dusk now. It's 5 minutes to 8 Rocky Mountain time. Well, I'm crossing mile 410, and this is McDonald Creek. Jimmy, this is your creek. Well, I just passed mile 400 at, it'd be 8:15 p.m. At mile 396, I took three exposures. It's getting quite dark. And I took them at F2 and 100. Summit Lake, elevation 4,250 feet. Now I'm traveling in the snow line. There's ice and snow on both sides of the road here. And this lake is all thawed out. It's beautiful green water. And Summit Lake, British Columbia, mile 391.9 or 392. The temperature has dropped down to 37 degrees, and this is mile 389. Well, the time now is 9 o'clock, mountain time.
No, it's not 11:30, it's 7 o'clock Fairbanks time, and 5 minutes after 9 mountain time. And I'm at mile 371. This is mile 360, and I'm at the...
That was not the summit. The summit is mile 353. And I'm at the summit now of Steamboat Mountain. It's about 8 miles from where I hit the first grade. It's getting kind of dark. There's several trucks coming by here. Everything's going along pretty good. There's a lot of little tiny rabbits. I call them rock rabbits here. I suppose down in Texas they wouldn't call them anything but shrews. They probably... But these little fellas look awful like they might be good eating. There's no dust, and the road is kind of wet here. It looks to me like it's been raining some up here on Steamboat Mountain. It's really juicy, wet. You can overlook this Mammoth Valley here from the Steamboat Mountain. You can see the rivers below, the canyons. I've just got into Fort Nelson. It's really been a rough one on Steamboat Hill. From the time I got to the summit, coming down this side, there was 30 miles of slippery, muddy, messy stuff. And I'm telling you, the car is covered with mud. So I'm going in here to get a bite to eat at a restaurant, see about resting up. The time is 9:15 Fairbanks time, and 11:15 Yukon time.
I just had some of the mud taken off the car, so that in case I have trouble, I could get to the car. And then I had some carbon tet squirted in the generator.
Well, I just passed a horse. A big truck tanker hit a horse and killed it. I'm on my way. I'm only 20 miles out of this next place. Out of TRUTCH. That's my next place. And there's a full 100 miles of nothing. The time is 8:30 on June the 13th, 1963, and I'm at TRUTCH, Canada. And I'm at the garage. I'm had the car serviced. Everything's in good order, and I'm getting ready to start down the road. It's been a little muddy up till this morning, and then a little less mud. this was mile 200 I'm leaving, and about 49 miles down the road is the next place, and 101 miles to the next place from here, and I'm just 200 miles from Dawson Creek. Summit, 4,132 feet at this point. That was mile 191 from Dawson Creek. The time is 10 o'clock this time here, and I just crossed Bucking Horse River Bridge at mile 172. This is 11:30 and mile 143, and there's a post office here. It's called Royalite, and it's the U.S. and British or Canadian post office. From about mile 152, I've been getting some awful good road. There's clear sailing, it's a windy day, and it's dry. Stopped raining, there's no mud down this way. Steamboat Mountain was a stinker. That really was a muddy place. I've seen probably 3,000 or 4,000 horses. All along the road for hundreds of miles, I've seen horses, and now I see cows in this area getting close to Dawson Creek. I see lots of cows. I see fellas out herding them around to keep them away from the road. And late last night, there was a big dual tanker, big semi-truck, hit a horse and killed it down here about 50 miles from where I am right now. Right around 52. Here's another odd thing I've seen here. For the last 8 or 10 miles, I've observed the water seeping right out of the ground, sometimes on both sides of the highway, right out of the side of a hill like an artesian well. And it's just like a piece of meat bleeding. The water comes right out of the ground, boils right out. Thousands of little places. Another thing I observed this morning, several places are displaying a United States flag along with their Canadian flag along the Alcan Highway. And I find most of the places I've stopped are far more congenial than they used to be. They're very courteous. And they're clean, they seem to be well established. They don't seem to be clip joints like they were right in the beginning. And they all seem to be substantial business people. I've come to a place down here on the highway where it's windblown and this dirt is just like pavement. Just as smooth as a table. Very little. It's far better than some of the pavement I've been on. Just as smooth as it can be. I've just seen loads and loads of dandelions. I never seen so many dandelions. The ground is just yellow with them. All along the highway here. Traffic has been increasing on the highway here. I'm getting close to Dawson Creek. I'm 118 miles from Dawson Creek. And I've seen some more Airstream and some real nice campers built right on the trucks. And then a lot of them are towing their hogs on wheels too. just passed Blueberry at mile 100. Now I'm almost down to mile 98 from Dawson. The road is pretty fair, a little bit bumpy at times, but it's like cement. This road is good. There's no dust to speak of. Believe it or not, I hit my first pavement since I left Alaska, and I was looking for the milepost. It's 80-something. I haven't found it yet. But there's a modern highway here, and it says 60 miles an hour maximum speed limit. It's mile 81. It started at mile 83. And this pavement going right into Dawson Creek. I started to get radio at 74 miles out from Dawson Creek.
CKML's full frequency news.
The time now is 2:40 p.m. in the afternoon of June the 13th, 1963, and I'm pulling into a Chevron service station in Fort St. John to check the carburetor. Well, this gentleman here at the gas station found the tube broke off in the gas tank, and he had to put a new tube in there and hook it up. I guess I'm out of trouble for the time being, and he did give me very good service on this. So I'm on my way again. Everywhere I go on the highways here, I find these warning litter signs, and I see the patrolmen are working. And it's a pretty stiff fine and jail sentence for throwing stuff out the windows of cars over here in Canada, in this part of the country. And those provincial police are on patrol, and they're really watching. And that man in that garage worked 2 hours on my car, and the gas and oil and everything was only $14.09. But I notice everybody is working over here, and everything is down within reach. And I didn't hear a single complaint about taxes or anything like that. They must be reasonable, or there would be a lot of beefing, because they don't have the money here to pay that enormous phony tax that we have. This road is a well-marked road here, and I'm about 35 miles from Dawson Creek. I see a lot of farms here. There's an awful lot of truck farming, as well as some kind of grain. I can't see what it is from here. The time is now 4:35, and I'm preparing to have the car washed and cleaned up. And I'm in number 12 in this motel here in Dawson Creek. Well, this morning, I've had a chance to rest last night for a good 11 hours. Got up and it's bright and sunshiny this morning. And the time is 7:15, this time here. June the 14th, 1963, at Dawson Creek, Canada. And I'm preparing to leave now
to go over to Edmonton and down to Calgary. Well, I just had hot cakes and eggs and coffee at a truck stop. Believe it or not, it's called the Chicken Inn. But they're putting all old hens except one or two in there. I'm leaving Dawson Creek, going south now to Edmonton. And I see the most beautiful farms here. And I've seen a farm machinery company that I haven't seen since I was a youngster 30 years ago. And they've got everything imaginable and everybody's working the land over here. What's the matter with you people in Alaska? You all asleep at the switch? We've got a big town in our valley there that we could develop. I'm telling you, there's miles and miles of farms here, and these people are happy and they're working. They're not out like a bunch of coyotes after each other. Well, I just took three exposures of this great valley here where Dawson Creek's located. And these are really nice kept fields. You ought to see them. There's a bright sunshine this morning, and the temperature is 55 degrees at this moment at 8:30 a.m. The time now is 15 minutes to 11, and I'm in Dawson Creek, and I'm at Henry's Auto Clinic, and I've had the wheels aligned and balanced. And the car checked out, and this fella did a very swell job, and he very reasonable. He charged me $8. It's excellent. And what is your name?
Henry Dirksen.
Henry Dirksen, huh?
Yes.